Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special pre-Tu B'Shvat shiur this morning at the Young Izzo of Woodmere. I want to thank every single one of you who's here for coming out to join me. Not only is it a Sunday morning, but it is a rainy Sunday morning. Baruch Hashem, we need the rain, but sometimes a morning like this, we don't necessarily want to go out. So I appreciate every single person who made the effort to join us this morning. So today's shiur is entitled, From Rain to Redemption, When Our Prayers Bear Fruit. From Rain to Redemption, When Our Prayers Bear Fruit. By way of introduction, it is not a Tu B'Shvat shiur focused per se, it's rather a Chodesh HaAviv shiur. We are approaching Tu B'Shvat, which is this Wednesday. We are quickly going to be in Chodesh Adar, and very quickly after that, we're going to be in Chodesh Nisan. So it's really a shiur that's going to combine insights related to the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, which is what the Mishnah says in regard to Tu B'Shvat, related to the salvation of Purim, related to the redemption of Pesach. So it's sort of an overview, insights related to the season that we are moving into and the days of salvation that we are going to be celebrating. Rav Eli Melech Biderman tells over the following story. There was an unlearned man, a simple farmer from the country. He would go to his Rebbe to the town every Rosh Chodesh, and the Rebbe would tell him all the Jewish holidays that are coming up in that month, all the prayer days, and all the upcoming fast days. And one day, mid-month, this unlearned man went to town, and he sees that all the shops are closed, and he wanted to go to the market day. How could this be? Why are people rushing to shul? The rabbi didn't tell him on Rosh Chodesh that this is a special day. He didn't tell him it was a festival. He always comes in advance to know the festival days. And he saw his Rebbe. And he says, Rabbi, Rabbi, why are all the shops closed in the market? Why is everyone rushing to shul? Today is not a fast day. It's not a holiday. It's not a prayer day. You just told me it's a simple day. So the rabbi said, it's true. It wasn't any of those, but we're facing a drought. And we have decided to call a special day of prayer, Yom Tefillah, Yom Ta'anis. It's a day of prayer and fasting, and everyone's going to the shul to daven. The market is closed. So the farmer said, Rabbi, that's what you do when you need rain. So the rabbi said, yes, we close our businesses, we fast, we go to shul and we pray. Oh, said the man, when I need rain, I also do something. What do you do? He says, I go into my fields. And I look at the drought and the dryness and the lack of rain, and I look up to the heavens and I say, please, Hashem, I need rain. And it rains. It's an interesting time of year. From Shvat, we move quickly into Adar. From Adar into Nisan, Chodesh HaAviv is really almost upon us. The world is reborn. That is symbolized in Tu B'Shvat, the Rosh Hashanah La'ilan. I always think fondly of the time around Pesach, when like the trees are all bare, and then 2 weeks later, everything is in blossom. And it's such an unbelievable miracle, and it's so beautiful when all the greenery comes back. It really is a rebirth or a redemption of the natural cycle of the world. Similarly, our nation is reborn every Chodesh HaAviv, of course, in Nisan. Salvation is upon us with Adar and the time of the Gula. We were saved from annihilation. It all comes together at the same time period. You know, it's so interesting. When I was preparing for this year, and here we are coming up to Tu B'Shvat, and then Purim, and then Pesach very quickly. So I remember that my husband and I were talking after the Yamim Noraim and after the Yamim Tovim season, the Chagim that ended in Tishrei, and he told me that somebody in Shul said to him, the day after Simchas Torah Shmini Atzeres is the hardest day of the year for him. Why? Not like a Nisayan, hard, difficult to go back to work. Why? He said, because after Adar, after Purim, you know, Pesach is coming soon. After Pesach, you know, it's spring and then Shavuos. After Shavuos, you know, there's summer. And even when summer ends, you know, there are the Yamim Tovim. But after Simchas Torah Shmini Atzeres, you have the long period of winter. And I was thinking to myself, as I was preparing, that long period is almost over. And it begins with the regrowth and the rebirth and the re-sprouting, if you will, of the trees, the Rosh Hashanah La'ilan on Tu B'Shvat. I'll tell you that I spent a couple of Tu B'Shvats in Eretz Yisrael. When I was in ninth grade, my family lived there and we went tree planting. And more recently, about 5 years ago, 2014, 4 years ago, the Knesset had the first ever Tu B'Shvat Seder. And my husband and I were zocha to be there. And It was unbelievable. We spent the morning in Ir David, so we were in the seat of rulership 3,000 years ago under King David. And then later that evening, we went to the first ever Tu B'Shvat Seder in the Knesset, and then we went to the government today. We went 3,000 years in a few hours, from the ruins of the palace of King David to the Knesset today. The tables were set with flower bouquets, and there was red wine and white wine, and everybody had a Tu B'Shvat Seder booklet, and everyone had a Seder play. Everyone had a Haggadah, everyone had a Seder play. Everything was kosher to be there with members of Knesset who, you know, put on the kippah to make the bracha. Everyone read from the Haggadah. It was, I can't describe for you words. I can't describe it. So to say that Tu B'Shvat here pales in comparison to Tu B'Shvat commemoration and celebration in Eretz HaKodesh is a gross understatement. But the Metzius is, this Wednesday will be Tu B'Shvat, so we want to have some sort of insight. After that, we got into the cab, and the cab driver said, how are you celebrating Tu B'Shvat? And after that, we went to the hotel, and in the lobby, it was set up with all kinds of fruits and freshly squeezed juice for all the guests. And then here, Nebuch, I was always crying. I walked into the grocery last week, and there's some platters on the table, and it says Tu B'Shvat, 4 sections, Tu B'Shvat, 7 sections, and I thought, this is Tu B'Shvat. In Chutz La'aretz, Aylan and Kichatanu. The 15th of Tu B'Shvat is the new year for the trees. That is what the Mishnah says, Rosh Hashanah La'ilan. Why is it so important, aside from hashkafic reasons? According to biblical law, we know there is a 7-year agricultural cycle. We refer to this as the Shemitah cycle, right? Just every 7 years, we start all over again. 1 through 7, Shemitah, then we start again. When the Beis HaMikdash stood in Yerushalayim, on years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of this 7-year cycle, the farmers had to separate a tenth of their produce, Maaser, and they had to eat it in Yerushalayim. This was called Maaser Sheni. So on years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the cycle, the farmer would separate produce. It was called Maaser Sheni. It was in addition to the Maaser they gave to the Kohanim and the Levim, and they had to eat it in Yerushalayim. On years 3 and 6 of the 7-year cycle, they would give, instead of the Maaser Sheni, they would give what's called Maaser Ani. They give the Maaser to the poor person. The poor person could consume it wherever they wished. During the Shemitah year, there were no Maasers given because the land belongs to everybody. It's not like the farmer has land and he has to separate to give to somebody else. He has to eat in Yerushalayim on year 1, 2, 4, and 5. He has to give it to the Ani in year 3 and 6. On the Shemitah year, the land belongs to everybody. It is of vital importance to know when the trees have their birthday because of the 7-year cycle. When do you have to separate tithe? When is the tree forbidden? When is the tree permitted to eat from the fruit? Therefore, a fruit which blossoms before the 15th of Shvat is produce of the previous year. So if it blossoms in, I don't know if you planted in Tishrei and it blossoms before Tu B'Shvat, let's say, so it's produce of the previous year. But if it blossoms after the 15th of Shvat, it's produce of the new year. Why is this so? In the Mediterranean region, the rainy season begins with the festival of Sukkot, with Sukkot, which is when we begin davening for rain. It takes approximately 4 months from Sukkot, which is the 15th of Tishrei, to the 15th of Shvat, for the rain to saturate the soil and the trees and to produce fruit. Therefore, all blossoms and any tree that blossoms beforehand are product of rain of the previous year, and anything that blossoms after the 15th of Shvat are product of rain of the following year. Right? That's as far as I'm going to tell you about Tu B'Shvat. If you have any halachic questions, halacha l'maisa, like I always say in my classes, please ask. You're rough. Many have a custom to daven, by the way, for a mehudah or esrog on Tu B'Shvat, which is very interesting. Many daven now on the 15th of Shvat that the esrog, the pre-Eitz Hadar, that they will take in the middle of Tishrei should be mehudah. So here we have the nekuda of the fact that Tu B'Shvat is also a day of prayer, which is really the foundation for this year, which I mentioned is called from rain to redemption when our prayers bear fruit. We have a custom on this day to daven for a mehudah esrog. Davka on this day, interestingly, when the cycle of agriculture is renewed, we pray. And that's interesting. That means that prayer and plants are intertwined. Prayer and plants are dependent upon each other. Prayer, tefillah, and plants, ilanot, are connected. They are intertwined, which interestingly leads us to ask, does anything from agriculture to health, from family to wealth, from success to satisfaction, happen without tefillah? Does anything happen without prayer? From agriculture to health, family to wealth, success to satisfaction. The answer is, of course, some of you are shaking your head, no. Let us open up and see. I ask that you please take a chumash. I said that it's not a heavily text-based shir, but for your reference, I would like you to see inside. Please open up to In the Beginning. And when I say In the Beginning, I mean In the Beginning, page 10. Hey, we're in Sefer Bereishis, or sit next to someone who has a chumash, okay? Again, not heavily text-based, but I would like you to see these psukim inside for yourself. Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet. Okay. Chapter 2 of Bereishis, verse 4. We are on page 10. Eile todos ha-shamayim v'ha-aretz. These are the offspring, if you will, of the heavens and the earth. B'hi baram, on the day when God created them. B'yom asos Hashem Elokim, aretz ha-shamayim, on the day that God created heaven and earth. Pasuk Hey, Perek Beis Pasuk Hey. V'chol siyach hasada term yeba'aretz. Any siyach hasada, sprouting of the field, was not yet in the earth. V'chol esav hasada term yitzmach. Any grass of the field did not yet sprout. Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim al aretz, because God had not yet brought rain upon the earth. V'adam ayin la'avod et adama, and there was no man yet to work the earth. Man is not created till 2:7, which is two verses later. You're still on the same page. 2:7, man is created. But by 2:5, the pasuk tells you, the greenery had not yet sprouted. The grasses had not yet grown because there was no rain. Why was there no rain, says the pasuk? Because there was no man to work the earth. So Rashi is very famous over there. And Rashi tells us, I'm just looking out for you. Ki lo himtir. So Rashi says, why did it not yet rain? The pasuk makes it sound like it didn't rain because there was no man yet to work the earth, which is talk of the truth. Umatam lo himtir. So Rashi says, why didn't it rain? Lefi, because she'ein adam ayin la'avodas adam. So it's true what the pasuk tells you. It didn't rain because there was no man to work the field. Ve'ein makir b'tovatan shel geshamim. There was no one who recognized the goodness, the bounty, the bracha of rain. Interestingly, I thanked all of you. For those who came a few minutes later, I want to thank every single person, I said, who made an effort to come out in this weather. Not only is it Sunday, but it's also rainy. It's a day when we don't feel so much like going out, except that Rashi tells us that's exactly the wrong attitude, because Rashi actually is telling us there was no man yet to recognize b'tovatan, b'tovason shel geshamim. No one was there to recognize that we need the rain. How good is the rain? What a bracha. How good is the rain? And Eretz Yisrael, they're praying for rain. Now they have storms. Ukasheba Adam. And when Adam came along, I'm reading from Rashi, which you can follow along inside with me. V'yada shehim tzorach la'olam. Adam understood that rain is a necessity. It is an absolute requirement for this world. Hitpalel aleihem. The first time we see the introduction of prayer into the story of creation, even though it's not in the Torah text itself, it's brought down by Rashi. You cannot learn Chumash without the commentary of Chazal. Adam Davin, Viyardu, when he recognized we need this bracha, therefore he prayed and they came down. And then Vitzamchu Ha'ilanot, that's the next word of Rashi, the trees sprouted, the hadashaim, and the grasses. So there was no sprouting of the ilanot, and there was no sprouting of the dishaim, of the grass, until Adam came along, and Adam said, we need rain. And Adam davened for what's going on outside, and then rain came down, Hashem caused rain, and then there was growth. So now we can say, does anything happen? Agriculture is this day, the day that's coming on Wednesday, Tu B'Shvat. And then we have our salvation of Adar, and we're going to see the importance of prayer in the story of the Megillah. Does salvation come? Does Yeshua come without prayer? And then we're going to go to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're going to see that the Geula does not come without prayer. Prayer was first introduced in regard to the Ilanot and the Shaim, the trees and the grasses. Nothing happens without Kolach of Tefillah. But first, man must recognize Shaim Tzorach La'olam. You must recognize what you are davening for is a necessity for the world. Then we daven, then God rains down, either literally or metaphorically, the Yeshua. Her daughter Sarah relates, when we would be at Memorial Sloan Kettering, my mother would say, why do you think Hashem keeps bringing us back here? Only someone who's level could say this. Why does God keep bringing me back here? We have to daven for all the neshamos, honey would say, that are here. Each one of us, says her daughter Sarah, had our own job. One had to daven for the sick people. One had to daven for the lost Jewish souls who were here. People thought we were crazy. There are three bodyguards coming with this lady, and they are all praying. Some people come alone, but each of us had a job. Our job was, who should we daven for here? We were in the hospital for hours and hours, and we each had someone for whom we had to pray. One time, someone brought me and my mother to Memorial Sloan Kettering for my mother's brain radiation, and we had no ride back to Brooklyn. We tried calling chesed organizations, maybe they could send someone. We tried calling relatives. Nobody was available to pick us up. So I said, Ima, let's take a taxi home. And my mother said, I'm not ready yet. Her soul was not ready yet to leave. And we were walking back and forth on East 67th Street. And we were davening for the neshamot hanidachot, the lost Jewish souls. The Jewish souls who barely even know that they're Jewish. We were davening for the Jewish souls who are sick, that they should be healthy. We were doing personal tefillos about everything and anything. And my siblings were calling from Israel, and they were saying, Sarah, just get into the taxi. And she wasn't ready. After an hour of this walking up and down and davening, I said, Ima, are you ready? She said, okay. We hailed a taxi, and finally we left. In regard to these psukim, let's look inside the Chumash again, please. Eila toldo sashamayim va'aretz. This is the introduction, really, to the creation of Adam HaRishon. And Parak Aleph, you have the creation of Bria Sa'olam. Yes, you have 127. Man and woman are created together. That is not a being that continues. God, for some reason, takes apart the first being, which was man and woman together. He recreates or refashions man and woman in chapter 2. So these are the offspring, says Pasuk Dalet, of the heavens and earth, when he created them, on the day that God created heaven and earth. And we already looked at 2:5. Every plant of the field had not yet sprouted. Every grass had not yet grown. God did not bring rain because there was no man to work the field. And then Pasuk Zion tells us, man is created. Okay. Hashem Shirfal Hirsch says on this pasuk, the previous verse, in other words, verse 4, pasuk Dalet, was the introduction to the history of mankind. Pasuk Dalet tells you the Shemaim is created, the Aretz is created. What's missing? Adam and Isha. What's missing into this whole world that has been created? Human beings, man, to populate the earth. So the verse 4 is an introduction to the history, says Rav Shalom Shaul Hirsch, of mankind. It taught us the development of the world after creation depends on man and his conduct. The development of the world depends on man and his conduct. It's a frightening statement, because when we look at the state of the world and the conduct of man today, and I'm not necessarily talking about us and our enclave, but when we look at the development and the conduct of the world, sometimes we wonder as to the dire straits and how it can go on like this. The development of the world, says Refresh, after the creation of Shemayim and Aretz, depends on man and his conduct. Hence, the narrative returns to the moment of creation, when the world comes to a standstill. At this point, between 2:4 and 2:5, creation is at a temporary standstill, awaiting its completion through the development of who? Man. So this will also help us explain why it had not yet rained. Creation is at a standstill at this point. And what are we waiting for? Rain. But what is rain dependent on? Man. And what does man need to do? Daven. Creation is at a temporary standstill. The narrative shows us man's entry into the world brings the Shemayim and Aretz into operation. Furthermore, we have details about the formation of Adam HaRishon in 2:7. We have a deep insight into his character. Adam in 2:7, Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. What is the deep insight? What is Adam? Adam is Afar Min HaAdama. He's taken from the very earth that God created, and yet he is also created with a Vayipach Ba'ab of Nishmas Chayim. Every single one of us is made up of body and soul together. There is no existence without both of these parts of man. None of us here would be if we were not created of our bodily physicality, base physicality, afar min ha'adama, and nishmas chayim, the soul of life, which was blown into us. Interestingly, Rav Hirsch points out, please look at 2.5 again. V'chosiach hasada, v'adam ayin. We see the introduction of the word sada, field, and adam, man. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, adam and sada occur for the first time in this pasuk, which show us that we are now in the realm of man. Until now, we have been in the realm of my separatious creation of everything external to man. Man's environment has been created, but man has not been created. And now when we come to the words Sada and Adam, Adama, those are the first time these words are introduced in the Chumash, as of Shamsher Fal Hirsch, we are now in the realm of man. Until now, the term used by the Torah was Eretz. Eretz is a general term, but Sada is the part of Eretz reserved for the sustenance of man. Where does the Ilan grow? Where does the Esav grow? Not in the Aretz, which is like the globe, the whole world, but in man's Sada. I need to daven, said that poor ignoramus, who was obviously very close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He said to the rabbi, you call a whole prayer gathering, you close your markets, I go into my field, I'm an Adam, I go into my Sada, I look up at the sky and I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, my fields need rain, I need rain. The first time we see Adam and Sada is in regard to the introduction to the creation of man. We're in the realm of man. And I'm sure Hirsch goes even farther and he points out something very beautiful. Sada, you with me? Are you looking in 2.5? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay. V'chalsiyah hasada. So Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, Sada is related. You know, if you study Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, it's such a beautiful shot on the Torah. I remember when I was growing up. So we had the Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, you know, the old Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. So I would open it up. I was also a kid. I understand. I couldn't understand one word of Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. But Feldheim has a beautiful, it's a red set. Does anyone have it? Okay, it's Kedai. If you want to treat yourself to something, Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch has a red. Feldheim has put out a translation of Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch. It's red, Chumashim, and we could understand them, and it's very, very beautiful. Rav Hirsch, if you learn his work, very much focuses on Shorashim. And if you learn with me, you know that I call Rav Hirsch, and I try and focus on Shorashim more as well, based on Rav Hirsch, Shorashim. So he says, Sada is related to... What did he say? Oh, interesting. Okay, I didn't even think of that. The name of Hashem, Shin, and Dalad, and Yud. Okay, very nice. Very nice. What?
I gave you some homework.
No, it's very nice. Hey, and Yud, the name of Hashem, that everywhere we are, even when we're in the field, the Ribbono Shel Olam is there with us. Very nice. And think of that. Beautiful. Okay, so he says it's related to Shad, Shin, Dalad, the maternal breast. Just like the maternal breast sustains the infant, the Sada sustains the Adam. The first time you have the introduction of the word Sada, it's in correlation to the introduction of the word Adam. Adam is sustained by the Sada, where Shakai always exists. Beautiful. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. The maternal breast, the mother's milk, says Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch, is separated from the sap and the juices of the body, right? The mother's milk is not mixed with the lymphatic system. I'm giving examples. The mother's milk is not mixed with the blood. It's not mixed with the inner ear fluid. The mother's milk is a separate sustenance that sustains her body, that sustains the child for the nourishment of the young. Adama is defined as earth in relation to men. The ground or the soil is wedded to the care of Adam. It's beautiful. You understand? You with me? Okay. Furthermore, so that's on Sadeh and related to Adam. What about Siach? V'chol Siach HaSadeh, second word of the Pasuk, Siach. Siach denotes growth in general. Hence, it also denotes the spiritual growth of man. I've said it many times in many different venues. What else does siach mean besides for plants? Okay, conversation. Yes? It does. How much I love Torah all day, it is my conversation. What else is siach?
Travel?
Oh, there you go. That's what we're waiting for. Okay, from Parashas Chayisar, Perachav Dalet, towards the end, Samech Gimel, Vayetze Yitzchak, Lasuach Basa that Lifnos Erevin, both Rashi and Targum Onkelos explain, what's Yitzchak going to do? If somebody said, and I didn't hear, I apologize. Did you say it over there, the answer? Oh. And what's Yitzchak going to do? Daven. So interestingly, you see the word Siach Hasada in relation to the plants of the field, but Rashi has already told us, what did Adam need to do here? Daven. So Rav Shem Shirfal Hirsch says, according to the sages, Siach denotes prayer. The implication is that one who prays drinks from the source of spiritual life. Adam, Siach, Sada. Adam is drinking spiritual nourishment from the breast of Mother Earth. The child drinks spiritual and physical nourishment. It's not just, think about the child who is nursing. It's not just about the physical nourishment which the child gets, but it's also about the love and the companionship and the bonding of the baby at the breast. So there's a much deeper connection here between Adam and Sada. It's not mere physical nourishment. He understands he can also derive spiritual nourishment, perhaps because the name of Hashem is always in the field. I love it. Shakai, Shin, and Dalad, and Yud. And if you recognize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is always there, even when you're working in the field, then even that can become a place of tefillah. Said the farmer, is that what you do when you need rain? I go into my field, and I look up at the sky, and I say, God, I need rain. Beautiful. Beautiful. That's Rosh Hashanah Shor Hirsch. The first time we see Adam, Adama, it's in relation to Sadeh, it's in relation to Siach, prayer, nourishment, sustenance. Nothing happens without prayer. Not the growth of the field, not the growth of man. Furthermore, Rav Soloveitchik says, Rav Soloveitchik also gives a beautiful interpretation of this pasuk. We're still in 2.5, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hei. Shem Shirfal Hirsch says, Rashi comments, although vegetation was already created on the third day, the plants remained in the earth and did not sprout. So they were created, but they were under the earth, so to speak. Nothing had yet sprouted. Why? Man was not created. Man did not yet pray. Therefore, nothing was blossoming or growing. So now Rav Soloveitchik says, how did Rashi infer from the verse that prayer needed to be offered before rain would fall? Furthermore, he points out the two phrases of this pasuk are somewhat contradictory. Look at the pasuk. V'chasiyah chasadeh terem yihyeh ba'aretz suggests there's no vegetation at all. V'chasiyah chasadeh terem yihyeh ba'aretz seems to indicate that what? There's nothing there. Kol siyah chasadeh, you with me? All the plants of the field, terem yihyeh ba'aretz. There's nothing in the ground. However, the second phrase, kol esav hasada terem yitzmach, seems that there was some vegetation. Kol siyah chasada terem yihyeh ba'aretz. There's nothing there. All the plants of the field had not yet grown. But then the second phrase tells you only the grasses had not grown. So is there something there or isn't there something there? Which one? It's a contradiction. The first part of the pasuk tells me you're confused. Not clear? V'chal siyach hasada terem yihyeh ba'aretz means kol siyach hasada terem yihyeh ba'aretz. There's nothing in the field. But then the second pasuk tells me the grasses did not sprout. So do you have nothing or do you have something? It's a stira. It's a contradiction. Both questions can be answered, says Rav Soloveitchik, if we translate the pasuk differently. Kol siyach hasada means prayer for the field. Forget plants for the field. Rav Soloveitchik says it means kol siyach hasada means prayer. Remember you already said sicha means conversation, and sicha also means tefila la'ani ki ya'atov v'lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho, a prayer of the pauper, one who swoons before God, he pours out his prayer, says David HaMelech. Siach means prayer. Therefore, how should we translate this pasuk? Kol siyach hasada, follow along. Because there was not yet on earth prayer for the rain of the field, therefore, call Esav Hasada Terem Yitzmach, the vegetation had not yet sprouted, because God had not brought rain upon the earth. I'm going to translate it again. Look inside. It's beautiful. Call Sia Hasada Terem Yihyeh Ba'aretz, because there was not yet prayer for the grass of the field, therefore, call Esav Hasada Terem Yitzmach. The vegetation had not yet sprouted because God did not allow rain to fall upon earth. So Perek Beis Pasuk Hei is really very much about tefillah. Kol Siach Hasada Terem Yihyeh Ba'aretz, says Rav Soloveitchik, means there was not yet prayer for the greenery of the field. Therefore, the Asaph did not yet sprout. Therefore, there was no rain because there was no man. So what comes down without prayer? Not even the, what I eat for breakfast, not even the banana that I had with my yogurt this morning will grow without prayer. Nothing. Not the Rosh Hashanah La'ilan, not the Mehudar Esrog we're going to use in Tishrei, not the salvation of the Jews in Shushan, not the redemption from Egypt, not every breath that I take. Do that. Do that. It's not a meditation class, but just do that. It's such a miracle. How come my lungs fill with air and now I'm alive? It's man's realm is the sadeh, the recognition that Shakai is everywhere that I am. As I drink from the maternal breast of the field of God's bounty of earth. But if there's no prayer in the sadeh of my field, then nothing can grow. Because God does not allow the Shafer Bracha, Kilohim Ter Hashem Elohim. The Shafer Bracha will not rain down upon us unless we pray in the field. Beautiful. Barbara Bloom, her son Moshe Bloom, Zechonah Levracha, was fatally injured in a field accident in the IDF. He actually spent 11 years in a very difficult state, and he died 11 years after the injury. And she writes, after physiotherapy, Alex, that's her husband, with unending patience and love, would put Moshe's tefillin on him, and they would recite the morning prayers. Moshe took his prayers very seriously, her injured son, the soldier. Since his vision was affected by the injury, he could not read the prayer, the tefillot from the Siddur. Alex would recite the prayer aloud, and Moshe would repeat by moving his lips. If Moshe thought his father, his Abba, was going too fast, he would make kissing sounds, and Alex would slow down. If he suspected that his father had made a mistake or missed a word, he became very upset, and he would want to start the tefillot all the way from the beginning. Sometimes this would happen after half an hour of tefillah. We tried to convince Moshe. Hashem knows we are humans. Hashem knows we make mistakes. He forgives us. But most of the time, this did not satisfy him. He would insist on starting the tefillah all the way from the beginning. From the growth of the trees to the growth of man. Rav Hirsch says, Siach denotes growth. Therefore, we're talking about growth of the field, and we're talking about growth of mankind, which occurs through prayer. From the rebirth of the trees in Shvat, to the birth of the nation in Nisan, from Shvat to the trees, from Adar to our national salvation, from Nisan to the Geulah in Mitzrayim. Nothing happens without prayer. A person went to enter a Moshe Feinstein Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and he asked him for a bracha for Parnasa. Parnasa is also Siach Asada, the produce of the field. What's coming up? That's your Parnasa. And he asked Rav Moshe for a bracha for Parnasa. Rav Moshe Zatzal said, for Parnasa there is no bracha. For Parnasa you have to daven every day. If you could please look to another foundational time that we see the emergence of prayer, 223 in Shemos. Sefer Shemos, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Page 300. Parak Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Okay, we're coming up to when you're going to need a handout. I mentioned that I made my own handouts this morning. I asked that you please sit next to somebody who has one. I don't know if there's any left on the bima. Please, if there's a bunch of people in a row who have one, please share with the person next to you so everyone could look inside. Okay? Anyway, I'm on page 300. Vayhi bayam, Parak Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayhi bayamim haheim, harabim haheim. It wasn't those great days. Vayamas melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt died. And Rashi says there, he did not die in its tareya. He had saraos, hayashochei tinoko, Yisrael v'rochets bedamam. The king of Egypt would shach Jewish babies and he would bathe in their blood. And Shabbos, my son who just turned 12, told me he had a nebuch, fourth generation. He told me he had a Holocaust, very bad dream. The other night. So I said, Shmuel, you need to stop reading Holocaust books. He just turned 12. I went to Z. Berman on Friday. One kid got a Yiddish cup and he brought home a Holocaust book. So I said, you need to stop reading those if you're having nightmares. He's 12. So he said, but they inspire me. So what should I say? So I said, okay, you could read them. He didn't die. V'haya shochei tinoko Yisrael v'rochetz v'damam. The king of Egypt would shecht Jewish babies, and he would bathe in their blood. V'yenchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. The children of Israel groan from the work. V'yizaku, they call out. V'ata'al sha'avasam el ha'alokim min ha'avoda. Look at these expressions of prayer. V'yenchu, they groan. V'yizaku, they call out. We're going to go to Mordechai Tzadik soon. V'ata'al sha'avasam el ha'alokim. Their cries ascended. And what is God's response to prayer? Pasuch of Dal. V'yishma elokim et na'akatam. God hears. V'yizkar elokim, he remembers the covenant. V'yar elokim, he saw the Bnei Yisrael and he knew. God wakes up, so to speak, in regard to the prayers of Israel. Let's look at Rabbeinu Bechaya, please. It's on your handout. Vayhi bayamim harabim haheim. It was in those great days. Shahaya Moshe borech mipnei Paro. Moshe, we know, had to flee because Paro wanted to kill him. There's a price tag on his life because Moshe killed the Egyptian. Vayamas melech mitzrayim vayanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. Charala hamisas hamelech. It was very bad. The people were very upset when the king died. So he's going according to the Pasha Psha. Rabbeinu Bechaya is telling you the king Mamish died. Why were the Jews upset? Afal Pisha Haya Rasha. Paro's a Rasha. So why were they upset? You know the expression, before we go on, you know the expression in English, I think this is the right expression, the evil you know or the devil you know is worse than the one you don't know. They had adapted to life, as horrible as it was, they had adapted to life under this Pharaoh. Charalahem, line 2 of Rabbeinu Bechaya, Charalahem Misas HaMelach, Afa Pisha Haya Rasha. It was bad that the king died, even though he was wicked, Mipachadam, because they were afraid. Pan Yakum Acharav Rasha Yoser Mimena. You know you think it can't get worse, sometimes it can get worse. Maybe the next guy will be even more wicked. Va'amar va'yizaku min ha'oshek. They cried out from the oppression. Shahaya osim lahem. They don't know what's going to happen. Va'amar. And the pasuk says, excuse me. Va'tal sha'avasam el ha'alokim min ha'avoda. Their cries ascended to God from the work. Ki afa pisha higiyah ha'kates. Look at this. The end had come. What does that mean? The 400 years that were prophesied to Avram and the Brisbane of Psalm in Parak 15, Parak Tesvava Bereshis, the end had come. Lo hayu ru'uyim legu'ula. Look at that. The end had come, but they were not worthy of redemption. So how are they going to get out? How are you going to be reborn? How are you going to be redeemed? How will you be saved? You're not worthy of redemption. Ela meirov shetzaaku al Hashem min ha'avoda kabel tfilatam. They called out to God and their prayers were accepted. V'hizkir shnei pa'amim min ha'avoda. The pasuk says two times. If you're looking inside, they cried out twice. It says, from the work. V'yenchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. V'atal sha'avasam elokim min ha'avoda. Twice it says, they dafka cried from the oppression, from the pain, from the subjugation, from the slave labor. L'lamdecha she'ein tfilaso sha'adam shleima. Ka'osa shehu mitpalal mitoch hatzara v'hadochek. There is no such thing as a complete or a pure or an absolute prayer that man prays when he is praying from tsaros and from pressure. Shehi yoser mikubalas. It is even more accepted. V'hi ha'ola lefanav yisparach. When a person prays from a place of tsar, from a place of avoda, from a place of slave labor, from a place of mitzarim, when you feel you're between the straits, from a place where you feel you're caught between a rock and a hard place, we have no way out. This power was terrible and he died. The next power is going to come. He's going to be even worse. They're just crying out and they're groaning and they're screaming when it's so bad. And you pray. L'lamdecha she'ein tfilaso shel adam shleima ka'oso shehu mispalal mitoch hatzar v'dochak. There is no as pure, as complete, as accepted a prayer as one who cries, who prays, who calls out from an emergency situation. It's true, because Rav Shimshon Pinkas points out in his Sha'arim B'Tfilah that the prayer of a person in a tranquil time cannot compare to the intensity of prayer when a person, Rahman al-Atslan, is in a state of emergency, so to speak. You can't compare. We all remember the tefillah gatherings 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, when Ayal Yirfach and Naftali Frankel and Gilad Shaar were kidnapped. We remember the prayer gatherings. There's such an intensity to our level of prayer, min ha'avodah, when you feel the oppression, when Paro is bathing in Jewish blood. There's such an intensity. That prayer is so complete. It's so whole. It's so pure. It's accepted. Let's see what the Aruch Haim HaKadosh has to say. Min ha'avodah. Peru, Shalosha Tsa'akula Kalshi Yoshiam. They weren't even calling to God that he should save them. Ela Tsa'akum min Hatsar. Ka Adam Hatsoek Mikaivo. The Archaim is telling you something very important. They weren't praying to God. They were just screaming. What does that mean? You bang your head. This happened to me a few weeks ago. I banged my head on the cabinet in the kitchen there. Shabbos, I stood up. I didn't know it was the top cabinet. So I banged my head. Ow! I wasn't davening. You could turn it into tefillah. I was saying ow. I was calling out. The Archaim is saying, Lo shetza'aku lakal sheyoshim. They weren't saying, save us, redeem us, remember us, hear us, Almighty. They were crying. Min hatzar ka adam hatzoik mekevo. They were people crying out from pain. Nevertheless, that not directed prayer ascended to God. They were calling out from the pain of the work. Nevertheless, God heard those groans. Haramat kol ke'evam. He lifted up the voice of their pain. Od yirtzal derech amra. Furthermore, quoting Tehillim, min ha-meitzar karasika, from the straits. It's so interesting that the Archaim quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, min ha-meitzar, because what's the root of Mitzrayim? Meitzar, min ha-meitzar. You know, it's almost like a play on words here. It's not just stam, a pasuk that he chose from Till. Min ha-meitzar karasika, min ha-mitzarim karasika, min mitzrayim karasika. Every person can relate to this feeling of being in Egypt, because at times we are all in min ha-meitzar, from my straits of affliction. Min ha-mitzarim, I'm in a narrow place. Min mitzrayim, you can all feel like you're in mitzrayim. Anani ba-merechavka, answer me from a wide place, God. Ki achas me-ha-tfilas ha-miskabos hi-tfilas shem-bitoch tzara. Similar to what we saw in the Rabbeinu Bechaya, the Archaim HaKadosh says, the one type of tefillah that is surely accepted is the tefillah from a place of mitzarim. Mitzrayim, tsaros. It's all the same word. Pain. Or ulai amro min havoda yirtza. Last line of the Archaim HaKadosh. Furthermore, maybe it means to say, shelo higia hasha'ava lefnei Hashem al yidei emtza'i. Important. Sometimes angels bring our prayers up to God. Yaakov Avinu, when he was fighting with the Malach on the river Yabok, he said to him, Lo ashalachacha ki im berachtani. He said to the Malach, give me a bracha before I send you. We have instances where the angel is the intermediary, so to speak, between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Please don't ask me questions on that. I don't know enough. I can't answer. But we know that by Perachav Beis, before Avraham Avinu was about to do that keda, vayikra elov Malach Hashem min hashamayim. Who called out and said, stop? The Malach said, don't shecht your son. Furthermore, says the Archaim, our sha'ava, our outcry, did not ascend to God al yedei emtza'i, through an intermediary, ela biyosher alta min havod elokim, because we were crying from such a place of distress, from such a place of pain. Think of a time when you've been in a tzara. We should never know. We should never have been in a tzara. Halavai, we should only have been in one tzara in our whole life. Think of a time. Relate to this. I'm not telling you something from antiquity. Nothing comes to the world, not rain, not salvation, not la Yehudi Maisa or Vesimcha, not health, not wealth, not family, not bounty of Sada. Think of your life, think of your home, think of what the Archaim and the Rebbeinu Bechaya are telling you, about me. You can't compare the cry of a person in Sarah, Mitzarim, Meitzar, Mitzrayim. And things are good sometimes. We forget who's in charge, and we forget who we're dependent on. That's what the Pasuk tells us in Devar Parakas. When your houses increase, the kesef is of yirbiun lach, and when you have gold and silver, and everything's good, so what happens? You forget Hashem, and you say, I did this. But in a time of emergency, we should never know. When we all get together, we know who's in charge. And that tefila from a place of pain, think of a personal nisayon you've gone through, a personal tzara, a personal mitzrayim, a personal mitzarim. Just you and God in the sada with shakai. You're drinking the nourishment from the breast of Mother Earth, special for you. You're getting physical nourishment, you're getting spiritual nourishment. The Ribbono Shel Olam's right there in your sada. It's fabulous. In your sada is shakai. So think of yourself in that place of pain. Nothing grows without prayer. But that prayer is so powerful. and it's from a place of pain. That's the deepest part of yourself crying out to your Father in heaven, save me, help me. And that is not answered through an intermediary, but Yosha Alta Min HaVod HaElokim. It goes straight up to God. Lo Al Yedei Baal Knafayim Yagid Davar. It's a pasuk from Qualis. I gave it to you in the footnote if you want to see it. It's not that the winged creature, Baal Knafayim Yagid Davar, the winged creature doesn't carry up your tefillah. The tefillah goes straight up. There's no life without prayer, no esrog, no fruit, no ilan. There's no person. There's no Adam without tefillah. There's no salvation or geula. Pasuk tells us in Megillas Esther, it's not on your handout. I'll tell you when it's on your handout, because you know this pasuk, v'nishloch sfarim biyad haratzim. So that was Mitzrayim, Nisan, Geula. Remember we saw inside, the time for Geula came, but they weren't worthy. What made them worthy, says Rabbeinu Bechaya? Tefillah. B'nisan nigalu, b'nisan asidi nigal. The Geula of Nisan occurred through prayer, even though we had no other merits, he says. So how will the future Geula occur? Let's ask ourselves. Throw yourself into the tefillah. Maybe this Nisan, but Ezra Sashat Malavai. Maybe we'll be Zocha to Geula. Mishloch Svarim Biyad Haratzim. They sent out the letters with the runners. Al Kol Medino Samelach to all the provinces of the king. La Shmid, La Rogu, La Abed, Eskola Yehudi, Minarvad, Zokin, Tafan, Nashim. My son said, I'm having nightmares. I said, stop reading the books. Don't read them. They inspire me, so what should I say? Minarvad, Zokin, Tafan, Nashim. It's our national destiny. Biyam Echad, La Shmid. To destroy, la harog, to kill, la abay, to annihilate, call a Yehudim. Call, what does call mean? Al. Shlosha asar l'chodesh neim asar l'chodesh adar. Haratzim yatsu duchufim bidvar hamelech. The runners go out quickly with the word of the king. As quick as they can go before WhatsApp and tweet. So they push them fast. V'hadas nisna b'shushan abira. The order has been given in the capital city of Shushan. V'hamelech v'haman yashfu lishtos. The king and Haman sit down to have a drink. Vayir Shushan Nevocha, and the city of Shushan is so perplexed. Rabbi Norman Lamb writes, Queen Esther, appraised of the nefarious plans of Haman, probably considered them the rantings of a madman. He could not possibly really mean to do what he proclaimed to do. It was only Mordechai, when he spoke to her in words cold, strong, and cutting as steel, that she came to her senses and a great tragedy was averted. The democracies of the West, similarly, did not believe Hitler meant to do what he announced in his Mein Kampf. They simply did not believe it. They were silent. And millions of people were killed as testimony to that silence. It's so interesting. What does Mordechai say to Esther when he wants her to act? Don't you dare be silent at this time. Ki im hachareish tacharishi be'es hazos. Rabach v'hatzala ya'amod ha'yehudi mimakam acher v'atu beis avicha tovedu. If you insist, hachareish, double ashon, if you insist on silence and silence during this time. Rabbi Lamb says, they couldn't believe it, they were silent. Why did the world not react violently to the plans of destruction? The world did not believe the reports. They simply could not believe, it could not be true. And they were silent. V'ha'ir shushan nevocha. They're so perplexed. The Medrash says 18,500 Jews partied at the party of the king, Achashverosh, in the beginning of the Megillah. 18,500, they were assimilated. They were the elite of society. They were the business owners. They were the landowners. They were accepted. They did what everybody else did. How could this be that this has come upon us? They were perplexed. Could not possibly mean to do what he really said he would do. And yet one person was not silent, and that was Mordechai HaTzadik. If you look on your handout, Pasuk 4, Megillas Esther, Perek Dal, Pasuk Aleph, Mordechai Yadas Kol Asher Na'asa. Mordechai knew everything that had been done. Vayikra Mordechai is Begadav. He tore his clothing. Vayilbash Sak Ve'efer. He put on sackcloth and ashes. He's in mourning. Not only is he in mourning, not only does he believe. Vayetze Besocha Ir. Vayizak Z'aka Gedola Umara. He lets out a great and bitter cry. Interestingly, if you're still open to Shemos Perek Beis Pasuk Chav Gimel, when you see the instance of Tfilah vis-a-vis the Jews, the Israelite slaves, he uses the same word, vayizaku. If you're still looking inside your chumash, the pasuk, perek beis, pasuk of gimel, do you see that? Okay. What do they do from the work? Vayizaku. They call out, what does Mordechai do? Vayizak, za'aka gedola umar. He lets out this great and bitter cry. It echoes the cry of the Jews in the deserts building the pyramids in Egypt. Rav Soloveitchik says, what is the difference between, ready, tsa'aka, tsadi, and za'aka, zayin? Two different words. Tsa'aka, za'aka. I'll give you an example. For example, I didn't put it in your hand, or you can look it up if you want. When Esav, Kishmoa Esav es divrei aviv, when Esav comes home and he hears that his father gave the blessings to who? Yaakov. And how could this be? Vayitzak, tzaka gedola umara adva'on. By the way, the sages connect these two psukim. They say that Mordechai is vayizak tzaka gedola because of Esav tzaka gedola umara adva'on. They say it's a little bit of payback. Because we made Esav cry a great and bitter cry, Esav's descendants, Haman Agagi, Haman from Amalek, made us cry a great and bitter cry. Just a little tangent. But the point is that Esav, tsa'aka, he cried out with a tzadi. Mordechai and the Jews cry out with a zayin. What's the difference between tsa'aka and za'aka? We see za'aka here vis-a-vis the Jews working, building the pyramids, Egypt, Nisan, Gulat, Mitzrayim. And we see za'aka vis-a-vis Mordechai, who goes out into the streets. He's the only one who believes that what? Haman's going to do what he said he's going to do. Maybe everyone doesn't believe him, but Mordechai said he's going to do it. So Rav Soloveitchik says, the word za'aka, litzok, with a tzadi, suggests conveying a grievance. There's no difference if it's done loudly or quietly. So you can be calling out to God from the depths of your heart. It's loud, it's quiet. Tza'aka. It is a quiet, personal grievance before God. Quiet, personal grievance before God. That's with a tzadi. Litzok. Tza'aka. Tza'aka, says the Rav, does not mean to yell in a loud voice. It means to pour out the bitterness of your heart. It makes sense now vis-a-vis Esav. He wasn't screaming in a loud voice. He was pouring out the bitterness of his heart. How powerful is pouring out the bitterness of your heart that even the tefillah of Esav was heard before God and his descendants had to pay back centuries later on the streets of Shushan Habira. Tza'aka, tzadi, is not a loud screaming. It's a personal, quiet yell before. You could be yelling inside. You could look totally normal on the outside and be screaming to God on the inside. Think of that hard day, that difficult time when you have to go out in front of the whole world and look totally normal. And inside you are screaming. It's tza'aka. What is ze'aka with a zayin? Lizok. Not the same as litok, which we see, which elicited Yetziat Mitzrayim, the za'aka, vayizaku, which Mordechai went through the streets of Shushan doing. Za'aka has an implication of mobilization, gathering of forces. Za'aka is a prayer, but it's also mobilizing other people to come pray with you. It makes so much sense. What was Mordechai doing in light of this? Rabbi Lam has said that nobody believed. He's a raving lunatic. He's a crazy madman. He couldn't possibly mean to put all the Jews into the gas chambers. How could Haman think he's going to exterminate every Jew? It can't be. Mordechai knew. He was not quiet. Imachareish tacharishi, he says to Esther, don't you dare be silent. Therefore, what did he do? Vayetze besochair, not vayitzak with a tzadi. That would indicate he's calling out to God on his own. Vayizak indicates what's he doing? He's mobilizing the forces. He's telling the other Jews, you better scream too. I can't do this myself. It's not on me alone. Za'aka is a prayer and an effort to mobilize as many people as possible to lend a hand, to pray, to rally against the danger. Now we can understand both instances. Vayizaku, the children of Israel and Egypt, they were getting each other to pray as well. Everyone has to daven for Yeshua, not just me. It's not a personal cry that's silent in the depths of my being. Vayizaku, we have to cry together. Maybe salvation will come, and Taka did come. And what did Mordechai know he had to do? Yes, he put on sack for Efer. Yes, he was mourning for himself, but we need to make everybody else in the city aware. They need to scream out as well. Furthermore, Rabbi Lam writes, Esther 2:5, it's on your handout. The pasuk says, tells us Mordechai's lineage. Ish Yehudi haya b'shushan abira, ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish. Ish Yamina, we know he's from the tribe of Binyamin. Therefore, Ish Yamini, Rabbi Lam writes, ben Kish, the son of Kish. He was not the son of Kish. Kish was the father of King Shaul. There were 9 generations between Mordechai and Kish, not 4, as the pasuk seems to indicate. So what does it mean he was the son of Kish? He wasn't really the son. He wasn't 4 generations removed from Kish. The Chazal say it's an indication, Shehik Ish. He would knock on the doors of prayer, which were open to him. Kish indicates, once again, what was Mordechai doing? Hik Ish, he knocked on the doors of prayer. He pushed himself, so to speak. He demanded of God that something should be done for this people. He was not satisfied with remaining in the background. He knocked on the door, so the Ribbono Shel Olam opened it. He pushed his way in. Shehik Ish. He forced his way through the gates of prayer. He accepted the burden of national leadership. He was successful. His prayers were accepted. Rav Shimshon Pinkus teaches something very interesting. In my 3 minutes left, bear with me. Rav Shimshon Pinkus teaches something very interesting. Purim was a time of test for the Jewish people. The God of Hador, Mordechai, raised Esther in his home. Later, she's taken to the queen. All the Jews know we have a sister in the palace. Oh, they have someone in the palace. There's someone in the seat of government who will advocate for us. And a terrible decree came upon the Jewish people to destroy, to annihilate, to get rid of, to decimate, to kill out all the Jews. And Mordechai goes to Esther and says, only you can save us. Everybody's anxiously awaiting that who will save them? Queen Esther, their sister in the palace. And what does Esther do? She goes and she invites Haman and Ahasuerus too. A drinking party. Everybody's waiting to read in the news that Esther interceded on their behalf because we have a sister in the palace. There's someone in Shushan Abira in the capital city who will save us. Great. And then what does she do? Instead of falling down in supplication, she says to Haman and Ahasuerus, please come to a party. And after the first party, she has another party. Why did she do this? So Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, Chazal say, so the Jewish people will not say, we have a sister in the palace. So that the Jewish people will know they have a father in heaven. And instead of praying that Esther should save them, they pray that Hashem should save them. At this point, says Rav Pinkus, the Jewish people hit rock bottom. It was disastrous. Everything was stacked against them, the decree to annihilate them. The only hope they harbored was the sister in the palace, and even she betrayed them. The situation looked hopeless, and what do they do in such a situation? What heart's desire did they indulge? They davened. They turned to Hashem. At a test, at a moment of crisis, when a person is alone, when everyone has betrayed him, when no one supports him, when no one helps him, Vayitzak, Vayizak. We cry out within ourselves and we rally those around us to pray because only Hashem in the Sada Shakai remains to nourish us. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos on your handout, Perek Beis, Mishnah Yerchas, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Havei Zahir B'Kriya Shema B'Tfila. Rabbi Shimon says you should be very careful with Kriya Shema and Tfila. U'ksha'ata mispala, when you daven al ta'az tfilas chakeva. Don't make your tefillas by rote. Don't make it boring. Don't make it established. Don't make it something you have to check off on your checklist every day. To be with supplication and merciful before God. We don't have time to go through everything that I prepared. But I will tell you that the Chafetz Chaim, I'll end with this. The Chafetz Chaim tells a parable. The Chafetz Chaim says there was once a wealthy bibliophile. Am I saying the word right? Bibliophile? Man who collected books, had a very vast library. He offered to sell his library. One man offered to sell his library to the bibliophile. So an agent arrived to check out the library. And yes, there were taka so many books. However, some were missing pages. Some were wrinkled and torn. Some were crumpled. Some were stained. And at the end of the day, he saw there weren't really so many books here to purchase for his master, the bibliophile. There's just a handful of books in good condition. The Chafetz Chaim says, in the same way, when we come up to the heavenly court, we're going to say, Hashem, we have so many tefillos. We daven 3 times a day, every day for our entire lives. But then the court's going to start to investigate our prayers. And this one was Davin when we heard the text message ping and you had to see who was on the screen. And this one was Davin when you checked your watch, because how much time do I have before I have to get out of the house? And this tefillah, I skipped some of the hallelujahs because surely God's going to understand I didn't wake up early enough. And this one was Davin when I'm having really a conversation. While I'm saying Shema, I'm saying no to this person. At the end of the day, Lamaisa, how many tefillos are we really going to have? It's not going to be such a vast library of prayer. My mission in this world, offer yourself in a spirit of contrition, intense desire to change. Ki ha'adam eitz hasada. Man is a tree of the field. We have branches, we branch out to help other Jews. We have a trunk, we make ourselves strong. Ein anidi midi. We take in water, ein mayim ella. Torah. We take in sunlight. There is no growth without Torah, Ora. However, there is no growth absolutely. There is no seedling. There is no sapling. There is no branch. There is no trunk. There is no fruit. There is no vegetable. There is nothing without prayer. Hashem did not yet allow the plants to sprout because there was no man. And if there's no man, there's no tefillah. And there is no tree. And there's no Yeshua in Shushan. And there's no redemption from the wilderness, the desert, the backbreaking labor of Egypt without tefillah. We should merit the ultimate flowering when our 2,000 years of prayers and tears, yearning and growth will usher in a new era for mankind, for Am Yisrael, for Eretz Yisrael. It's Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach. In the end of days, the sprouting of King David, but Ezer Hashem will redeem us. Baruch Ata Hashem, Matzmiach, Karen, Yeshua. So I wish you all as meaningful a Tu B'Shvat as possible in Schos Aretz, and but Ezer Hashem, we should be zochah to the Geula very soon. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.